It is Current State here on WKAR. Tuesday is here. I'm Mark Bayshore. The day millions of Americans have been anticipating is here. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court hears oral arguments in a series of cases focusing on the constitutionality of same-sex marriage. 36 states currently allow the practice. Michigan is not one of them. Michigan joins three other states, Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee, in defending their bans. The High Court will decide whether gay marriage should be allowed at all, and if so, if states that ban them must recognize such marriages performed in other states where the practice is legal. Now, the Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta is in Washington today to witness the opening arguments at the U.S. Supreme Court just a short while ago. I spoke with Rick and first asked him to describe where he's at and what he's seeing.
Well, I am actually standing in front of the Supreme Court building. It's an old Greek Revival building, lots of columns and all of that. And federal court rules, not just the Supreme Court, but all federal courts, you're not allowed to demonstrate on the steps or the plaza in front of it. And so everyone is kind of packed onto the sidewalk. And so you've got lots of people who are holding signs that are, supportive of marriage equality, same-sex marriage, but also a lot of people holding signs that talk about homosexuality as being a sin and same-sex marriage as being wrong. And so, and all of these people, these adversaries on this particular issue are packed shoulder to shoulder and kind of doing their own thing.
There are really two key questions at the heart of these cases that have been consolidated into one. Can you explain what they are?
Sure. There are several points that the court has to cover, but probably the two key ones, and this is where the Michigan case and the Ohio state, what they really zero in on, is first of all, do states have to recognize same-sex marriage? That is there a constitutional right for lesbian and gay couples to get married and have all of the rights and privileges that are associated with that? And that's an equal protection argument. And then there's one that's really a contract argument, a full faith and credit argument, which is, do states have to recognize marriages that are performed in other states where it's legal? Because marriage is a contract, and states are obligated by the United States Constitution to recognize contracts that are performed in other states, but with, rare exceptions.
The ramifications of a pro vote seem pretty clear. Same-sex marriage would be legal in all 50 states, but what could come from a no vote on the questions? Would states that once had bans that were overturned reinstate those bans?
Well, we don't know. That would, it would depend not just on what the Supreme Court rules and sort of the philosophical issue, but then, how it frames its resolution, that they could throw it back to the states to resolve, go back to ballot questions. It could say, we're going to keep things as they are everywhere. However, no new ones. That it could actually, the court could conceivably rule that while there is no basic right to for gay and lesbian couples to marry, there is a responsibility for courts to recognize contracts. So states could continue to be allowed to ban marriages within their borders while still being forced to recognize marriages performed in places where it's legal. That they're really there's a lot of possibilities on the spectrum here.
We're talking with Rick Pluta, the State House Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network. He's in Washington today to cover the opening arguments in the U.S. Supreme Court's case to define the legality of same-sex marriage. Rick, Michigan's constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage was enacted in 2004. Much of this case, now before the Supreme Court, hinges on how aggressively the state will have to defend its ban. And the court uses different levels of scrutiny in deciding such cases. What does that mean?
Well, now, both sides are saying that they think they can win regardless of what level of scrutiny the court applies. But what that is really about is historically the court has to make a decision on how vigorously a state has to defend a law or a policy. And the lowest level of scrutiny is called rational basis. And that is one where it just says, look, was this a reasonable decision for the policymakers, whether it be a legislature or voters, to make? It doesn't have to be a good decision. It doesn't have to be a best decision. It just has to be reasonably arrived at. That's pretty easy to defend. The state is saying that we have this tradition of what marriage always looked like, and so this was, you know, a rational thing for voters to arrive at. And the pro-gay marriage side, the April DeBoer, Jane Rouse team, are saying that regardless of how long it's been around, it is irrational because of how it's been applied and how it denies, you know, rights and benefits, insurance, you know, visitation, things like that, to couples to the benefit of no one. But then you start moving. So that's the argument, even if they use the lowest, you know, the lowest level. But then you move up, and you know how, you know, again, how hard is the court going to force Michigan and the other states to defend their marriage bans all the way up to the strictest level of scrutiny, and it is called strict scrutiny. And in that case, you have to, the court will say, you know what, it is discrimination. And so in order to uphold this policy, you have to show that there is really a compelling state purpose that requires this policy and that it's applied as narrowly as possible. It's a standard that's usually applied in racial discrimination cases, and it is a very difficult one for a policy to withstand.
In the Michigan case, the two defendants that you refer to, Jane Rouse and April DeBoer, say the ban violates their civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
Attorney General Bill Schuette says this is about the rights of voters, not the courts, to determine the law. How seriously will SCOTUS consider that argument, popular will versus legislative action?
Well, I mean, that was, they'll have to consider it seriously because that was the basis of the decision that came out of the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. The only decision in any jurisdiction in the country, any federal jurisdiction in the country, where these bans were upheld. And what Judge Sutton said in the majority opinion was actually that we know that same-sex marriage is going to be the law of the land, that trend is clear. The question is, how will we arrive at that? Will it be through judicial fiat, or will it be because state by state, the nation has reached a consensus on the question? And so, you know, I mean, that is the Michigan case.
Going into the case, Rick, what do we know about both the conservative leanings and the liberal leanings of the nine justices? And do their past decisions give us any sense about how they might rule?
Well, you know what? There are hints that you can draw, but you've got to be careful, you know, on some of the major decisions that might, you know, that we might draw on this, that, you know, one justice or another was recused, that, you know, Anthony Kennedy certainly, you know, moves back and forth on these questions. You know, the state is hoping that the court winds up with a majority, something like they did on the Michigan affirmative action case. That decision was reached just about a year ago, or was released just about a year ago, where they said that courts really need to give a lot of deference to what voters decide. There are reasons for both sides to harbor both, you know, some optimism and some pessimism. And, you know, it's trying to read what the Supreme Court can do can certainly be tricky business.
Rick Pluta out on a very crowded sidewalk in front of the U.S. Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. Rick is the State House Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network. Thank you, Rick.
Oh, my pleasure, Mark.